RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
X-rays for Josh came back negative, but is there any update on his status, the injury, how his foot is feeling?
Yeah, he's dealing with some soreness. He looks like kind of like last week a little bit, but maybe in a slightly better spot than early part of last week like he was. And we'll just take it one day at a time and see how he does here through the week.
I know we talked to you less than 24 hours ago, so I don't know how much of an update you would have, but is there a plan for this week of what it looks like with the normal starters, giving guys a little bit of rest before you head into the playoffs? What is your mindset as you head into this week?
Yeah, like we talked a little bit last night, Matt, it's, I really haven't had a lot of time just to isolate those situations, so Josh is included, but we want to win the game. That's number one. From there, it'll go from there in terms of, how we're going to go about approaching this week here overall. But I'll let you guys know once I know a little bit more. We'll get through that more than likely this afternoon, this evening.
And then, Sean, last one for me is the offense. The last couple drives moved the ball. I know the 2-point conversion didn't go as you guys had hoped, but there were some struggles leading up to that point. The inconsistency with the offense has been something we have talked about at times this year. What did you see yesterday? And I guess what gives you confidence that you guys can kind of nip that in the bud moving forward?
Well, I'll start with you learn from that game, right? You take out of that game, you go back, scrub it different ways, look at it compared to other games, compare other games where maybe there was some of what you're talking about where it didn't go as we had hoped, and try and find similarities along those lines as well as things that we can learn from. So that's really what you have to do is you got to be, open, vulnerable, have that growth mindset to figure out, all right, what could we have done differently? What will we do differently if presented with the same challenge or challenges or situations? So, and like I said, after the game, a lot of it was, we got to do a better job staying on schedule, winning first down to avoid third and long situations. And, that's the first thing that comes to mind, really.
Keon, healthy scratch again this week. This might be a better question for the offseason, but where do things stand with him right now? And, is that still a situation where you expect him to contribute at some point still this season?
No, we do. I mean, every week, as you've seen, we're trying to find the right combination, and continuity is important. So we'd love to have that right week to week. Depending on how the game plan turns out and some of those things, I think those are the questions we start every week with of, hey, who do we have available? What does the game plan look like? You know, and then we go from there. And some of those, sometimes, as you know, what we've done, say with McColl over the last few weeks, or 1 week for sure lately with the Cleveland game, was to have him as the, call it the fifth wide receiver slash special teams piece there too. So a lot of different ways to put it together, and we'll see how it looks this week with Keon and beyond.
Obviously super competitive game against one of the top teams in the league, obviously a tight game at the end and frustration. Did it feel at all though to you, you know, obviously the anger in the moment, that Josh is maybe pressing a little bit? Are you sensing that a little bit from him?
You know, are you referring to the end of the game, the whole game, or any parts of the game in particular?
I would say a lot of parts in the game, but in particular, maybe that fourth quarter is, you know, trying to break through, and you guys were close, and a couple of probably mistakes that he owned there at the end, and probably will again when we talk to him. Does it just feel like in a game like that against a defense like that, when you could potentially play one or two more of those in the playoffs, that it feels like he's pressing a little bit?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say he wasn't. I would say there's probably some plays, yes, he wants back from that standpoint of trying to find something maybe down the field a little bit more than he, you know, if he looks back at it, would want to do again. So, you know, he's got a good feel and a good sense of being able to self-correct game to game, usually series to series as well. So, you know, full trust in him, obviously. But yeah, I wouldn't disagree. Maybe a couple plays that, you know, maybe just press a little bit too much, especially when early on things don't go maybe the way we want them to, or we don't get into the rhythm we need to. But nobody's better, you know, as good as him is in terms of, you know, going into the next game and making that correction. So I'm fully confident in him.
We saw you guys let go Michael Badgley. What is the plan this week and even moving forward at kicker?
Matt Prater seems to be moving in the right direction. Don't know for sure yet, but I feel like we're heading in the right direction there, and it should be back this week. But we'll know a little bit more over the next day or two when he gets a chance to kick some more here for us.
And on that injury note, we know Terrell left the game. Do you have any update on him and even the guys who didn't play in yesterday's game?
Yeah, so Terrell will be out with a calf injury. We'll be out this week. We'll start with that. And then we mentioned Matt Prater, Dalton Kincaid, Daquan Jones, Jordan Poyer, Jordan Phillips are all improving, and we'll see how they do. Take it one day at a time here.
With Bernard, is it 1 week? Is it being cautious? What do you see the long term with his calf injury?
Yeah, we'll take it 1 week at a time is all I can give you right now. It's still obviously less than 24 hours out from the injury at this point.
I know it's early in the week, but week 18 marks the final regular season game at Highmark Stadium. How will you savor that last game?
Oh, man. Emotional, just already thinking about it. It's very important to me. It's very important to our staff, to our team. And it will be addressed accordingly as we get together for our week of preparation here. So many memories, right, for so many people, so many families, friends, and just the moments that everyone shared over the years, even when I first got here, and the stories that people would share and I would just be listening to, and some outside the Bills organization and some inside the Bills organization. And now, being here 9 years with my family, being able to experience some of those same type of memories is special. And so we owe it to the stadium and to the memories that exist in that stadium to go out the right way here.
What game or memory sticks out the most at this point?
You know, I would say a couple games. Baltimore, I would say the 2020 COVID divisional game. Was a big one for us. I think Taron had a pick six in that game, which pretty much sealed the deal. And that was a memorable one, going to the AFC Championship game the first time. We were kind of on the climb in 2020 for the first time there. And, you know, just a lot of other games, too, that come to mind. That New England playoff game where I can't remember what the final score was, but it was ended up being a pretty significant difference in the score. And so a lot of great memories, some divisional, you know, divisional championships won there or sealed there. So it's been great. The fans have been phenomenal. And, you know, I look across out my window and I see the stadium. And I'm just like, it's almost, like I said, I don't want to say sad because it's not a sad day, but it is a little bit sad and I'm emotional about it. Even just being in my locker room, I was taking some time last night and just kind of looking around. It was just when I was the only one there at that point. But yeah, it's, you know, life moves fast and it's been a special place for a lot of people.
There's so many possibilities of what could wind up happening in a couple of weeks. I know coaches, you have to think 1 week at a time, but you also could play Sunday and then they put you on Saturday and you've already played the Patriots twice. You've played the Steelers. You played the Ravens. You haven't played Jacksonville. You haven't played Denver. How does it work behind the scenes? Do you have like an advanced staff that's at least starting to prep a little bit for all of these different scenarios? And then you kind of dig more into it afterwards, or do you just wait on that?
No, we try and get as out in front of it as we can. This year, it seems like there's a lot more combinations of who we may play in the first round versus other years. So makes it a little bit more challenging, but all hands on deck. So our quality control coaches, some of the assistants as well will get involved in trying to, break down some of the opponents that we may not know as much about to this point this season. And then, you know, make sure we're prepared for the 2 to 3, 3 to 4 combinations of who the first opponent might be for us.
And then on the D-line yesterday, I mean, really good job against the run. A couple of guys, Fedarian Mathis, I want to ask you about. And Andre Jones Jr. has given you a couple strong weeks, I felt, here. What did you think about their game specifically when you've gone back and watched a couple of guys who haven't got as much time this year but have showed up lately?
Yeah, I mean, Andre Jones came and then he ended up getting released and he came back to us. So he's probably been here a total of, I'm guesstimating, 5 weeks, maybe roughly, all told. And he's played now 3 of those weeks, 2 on defense and 3 on special teams. So he's done a nice job. He's brings a good amount of energy to our team, to our defense. He's been assignment sound for the most part. And then we call him Slim Phil. Slim Phil is, again, added to our team, I think, after the cut down. Somewhere thereafter, and he's done a good job of learning the system. And then when healthy, he's done a good job for us. And he had that small window of time where he was unhealthy and injured. But, he comes to work every day ready to work, and has done a good job for us.
I got one more. I'm sorry. If you look back on yesterday's 2-point conversion, now you've had a chance to kind of reflect on everything. You take it all back in. Can you kind of just walk us through the decision and everything that went into it and how you feel about it?
Yeah. And listen, every decision, every situation is slightly different. So not a blanket statement that it's always going to be, we're always going to go in this direction with the decision we went with last night. But, you know, I really felt like last night the right decision was to go for 2 right there, partially because we hadn't had a lot of success getting down there to begin with. And in fact, that drive, it took a 4th and 10 or 4th and 8 hook and lateral type of play to get us down there. And, you know, we had missed the extra point early in the game or got it blocked and felt like, hey, we get a chance to win the game right here, put the ball in the hands of our best player from the 2-yard line. I like those chances. So obviously it didn't work out. I shouldered that responsibility. But again, I felt like in that situation, at least, it was the right direction to go for our football team.
I know that, you know, Cam Lewis has been around you guys for a while. There's a lot of confidence in him, but I mean, Jordan Poyer not playing, that's a lot of experience. A guy with a lot of resolve. I'm curious what you saw from Cole Bishop yesterday in that game with Jordan out and how Cole kind of handled himself, especially with, I mean, that's a really difficult assignment to play that offense.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're a good offense. It's very talented. I thought all in all, our defense really stepped up and made some key stops and gave us a chance, especially down the stretch. So, I tip my cap to those guys and the staff that way. And now it's what we do. How do we build on it? And, Cole was out there, hadn't played with Cam necessarily for any, period of time, I would say. And I thought from a mental standpoint, those guys were pretty good back there. There's some things that I know that they want back as well. And you're always trying to improve every week. That's the goal. And some plays you want back and others, you can build from. So it's, it's kind of a one game at a time approach. But, you know, he continues to move in a good direction for us. And the more physical he plays, the better we'll be.
What can a young safety learn from getting and put in a position where you're playing with somebody different in that spot?
Yeah, geez, it's not ideal. I mean, I think we've had, T-Rap, DeMar, Jordan, and now, so you're talking about, you know, Cam's four, I guess, at this point. But Cam's a good football player, and those guys know each other. They've been in the same meeting room for now Cole's been here a year and a half or plus, so about 2 years. So it's not easy, but certainly appreciate their professionalism and their ability to work through. And, you know, I thought overall, like I said, the defense played well.
Just wanted to follow up on, you were talking about last night in the stadium. What time did you get out of there?
I don't know. I think it was like 10 o'clock, maybe something like that.
And what's that like? Because I think a lot of longtime Bills fans probably think about all their memories, and you've kind of had like this sustained success here and, you know, 10 years of all of these memories, playoff games in that building. I mean, can you take me a little bit more into just what this next week's going to be like, you know, ramping up to potentially the last game in there?
Man, emotional. It'll be emotional. Even for me who, you know, I've been here, like I said, 9 years, and there's a lot of people who have been here a lot longer than me and my family. So sometimes I think about that as well, like what this place and that stadium means to me. And then I think about the people who have been here, you know, three times as long as I've been here, and the memories that they've built and how emotional it'll probably be for them. And what's interesting and kind of unique is before a game, you know, like the haze in the barn, all the prep work is done, and you end up, I do at least, you know, you get dressed in your locker room and you're going through last minute reminders, shuffling through the different papers and reminders and whatnot. And then it's just you and time before opening kickoff. And I think that's what makes up some of my memories with this stadium is some of those times alone before a game in those moments that you get by yourself with your thoughts. And then also after a game as well, when you're trying to figure out how we did, what we could have done better. And a lot of the locker room is cleared out, you know, to your point, and it's just you. And so I found myself, as I think I'm one of the last ones to actually get a shower and walk back over to the stadium here. And it's, you know, you have some great, great memories of those victories, that all the victories that we've had and all the, how hard it was too, you know, during the course of the, of each game to win. And so you savor those moments because like everyone always says, it's hard to win this league, and it's true. But that stadium has been really good to us. It really has. And, you know, I know I'll miss it. And I'm not, as I said before, a few weeks ago, I'm not in a hurry at this point. I know this weekend's the last game, but I think we all need to enjoy every last minute of it.
I know fans are arranging to take the seats, trying to get that set up. Is there anything that you're going to try to take from your locker room or anything like that?
Are they going to do like metal detectors outside so no one's bringing wrenches from their garage to walk out of here with seats in their hands?
They might have to.
I know. Yeah. maybe I'll do the same thing.
It is going to be an emotional moment for you. This is your ninth year. But I want to ask you about that first draft class. That first draft class, how influential they've been on your stay here and your career. You're talking about Matt Milano, Deion Dawkins, Tre'Davious White. And a lot of people have forgotten that that was not only your first draft class, but you did that draft with Doug Whaley, and then he was let go afterwards. But how influential was that first draft? And you made a strategic decision in getting Josh Allen, but you had an opportunity to get Pat Mahomes. Have you ever thought about that at all with that first draft?
Well, yes, we, you know, listen, we found a lot of good players in that draft. Credit to Doug and his staff that were here, and even think about the guys that are still around, or the impact some of the guys that are around or that are not around anymore. But you know, even you look at the free agency class that we were able to bring in that year: Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and then the draft class. To your point of you know, Tre'Davious, Matt Milano, Deion Dawkins, just to name a few, right? And there's still a couple other guys still playing in the league, you know. So those guys that are still here with this, what an impact they've made and mark on our organization. So I'm indebted to those guys and very appreciative.
And my last question to you had brought up the Patriots playoff game in the stadium. I fought one of the greatest defensive plays I have ever seen in my 31 years of coverage was that Micah Hyde interception. Can you just tell me about that play?
Well, it's hard to talk about it because I was just without words trying to describe how he made that catch. And I think we were up 7-0 at the time, and they throw deep and take a shot. And I'm like, oh man, this is about to be 7-7. And Micah comes out of nowhere and goes up, and at the same time disappears behind my line of sight. And they're yelling from the press box, "He caught it. He caught it." And I'm like, "What?" Like, "He caught it." I'm like, "Are you sure?" And like, "He caught it." And so what an incredible play. One of the best plays on the ball, to your point, I think I've ever seen. So just special.
Back to the Atlanta Falcons game, when in pregame warmup, Daquan Jones was injured during pregame warmup. And my first question is, why is it the league allows, if someone's hurt during pregame warmup, that you could activate someone from your inactive list of the practice squad 15 player list that before when someone's injured during pregame? And then for the playoff, is it unlimited use of your practice squad during the playoff season?
Yeah, I'll start with that. Great question. So in the playoffs, it is these guys currently get 3 ups, right? We call them ups for activating to an active roster on game day. So it wipes the slate, wipes clean, and they start all over again.
Okay.
And then the other question was about DQ and him getting injured in pregame warmups before the Atlanta game where we couldn't use him. That's probably a competitive situation where the league wouldn't want people to take advantage of that one way or the other. I don't want to speak for the league, but it does make sense when you think about it. The hard part of that was you're down a player, in particular a defensive lineman who's in your starting rotation or just your rotation overall. And, you know, you're down a player at that point, a body, for lack of a better way of explaining it. So, yeah, it's not as clean as you'd like it to be, but I think I do understand why the league has it the way they do from a competitive standpoint.
So you're saying now the slate is clean now, and I believe you would have to play 3 games to get to the Super Bowl. So would those players still be eligible to play in the Super Bowl after the three elevations in the playoff run?
You know what? I'd have to look into that. Right now, I'm just focused on taking it one game at a time. So all I know is all the guys will be up for that first game if we need to use them right there.
Okay. Yeah. These rules, I tell you, I was wondering why they, but so it said, so someone could maybe fake kind of something, say, "Hey, this guy's hurt. We want to put Joe Blow on. We want to get somebody else on there." It messes around with the competitiveness.
Yes. I would believe so. That's why they have it the way that they do. I mean, you know, people, the 90-minute rule as it is, where inactives are declared for the game, you know, once you cross over that threshold, then I got to believe that they figure that that's enough. And then whatever happens after that is, you know, of your own responsibility to get figured out.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more. At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.